I want to say thank you to the band and praise team, Brother Dan, your leadership of them. Folks, we're blessed. I don't know if you realize how blessed we are here at Temple to have the musicians that we have. When 10% of the congregation is on stage leading, that's a blessing. I had a great meeting this week with our missions advisory board, and I spent a lot of time with some other pastors from around the state, and some of them were from this area, some of them were from South Arkansas, Central Arkansas, Northeast Arkansas, and every single one of them shared with me in some way how they needed more musicians in their church. And Brother Dan, I've got to be honest, I was embarrassed. Because I said, our folks are on a rotation, and we've got all the musicians that we could ever hope for. Now, don't let that mean that if you feel God leading you to worship and leading with our musicians, please join in. We need your help. Amen, Brother Dan? But wow, we're blessed. And thank you for the worship service this morning. The time to praise God and lift up our voices and sing about those things that we believe and sing about the way that God's worked in our lives. What a blessing. Today is the end of a sermon series. And the ends of sermon series always make me a little bit anxious because I think about, well, I wonder, did anyone get anything out of that? And then I wonder, was this really all that God wanted me to say on that subject? And then I wonder, what am I going to talk about next? But I have enjoyed this series, studying through the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And I know it's been the summer, and a lot of you have had to miss here and there. And I want to give a shout out to our social media team and our infrastructure team working with our media and all the work that they've done. They have all of our sermons for this series up to date on the website. And that's a blessing. So if you just can't get enough of listening to my voice, you feel free to go online and listen to any of those sermons that you miss. But today we're going to be talking about acknowledging the presence of the Spirit. Acknowledging the presence of the Spirit. This is the 10th sermon in this series called The God I Never Knew. And I want to take just a moment to refresh. I want to take a few minutes this morning and kind of walk through some of the things that we learned about the Holy Spirit. Because one of the things that we started with, this premise, this idea of the fact that the Holy Spirit is the neglected person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit in Baptist realms is that person that we don't talk about too much because we're kind of afraid of what people might think of us. They might start calling us, I don't know if you've heard this term or not, they might start calling us Bapticostals if we start talking too much about the Holy Spirit. But because of that neglect and because of that fear of thinking about and talking about the Holy Spirit, I believe that He is the God that we never knew. And so, walk with me over a few weeks down history lane. And if you noticed on the front, and while I've been giving shout outs to all of our different guys, our media technology team upstairs, they do a great job. Because most of the time you forget they're even up there. And that's the goal of a media technology team. And so, it's all right. All right, let's get back to this. If you have your bulletin, on the front cover of your bulletin, this is a word cloud that's describing some of the different things that we've learned about the Holy Spirit. We learn that He is life and love. He empowers us. He unifies us. He seals us in our salvation. He provides us with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, He transforms us. He equips us to do the work that God has called us to do. And so this morning I want us to think about some of these things. And so in order to do that, I'm going to go back through and re-preach all 9 sermons that I've done before. Is that okay with you guys? Not exactly, but I do want to remind us of some of the things that we learned. You see, in the first week we talked about what it was to listen to the voice of the Spirit. And this was just before Bible school, and we were talking about this is the way. Thank you. All the kids are in the back in children's church, or that would have been much louder. But this is the way, walk in it. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit of God to be our helper and to be our guide. And we talked about what it meant to listen to the Holy Spirit and know that Jesus is the way and that we are to walk in His way. You know, I think as Baptists we have a little bit of an excuse as to why we don't talk so much about the Holy Spirit. And that little bit of an excuse is because the Holy Spirit Himself always points to Jesus. And so we talk a lot about Jesus, but we must never forget that it is the Spirit of God at work in us. And He is our helper and our guide. And so we've got to learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit. In the second week, we talked about following the leadership of the Spirit. And we talked about how the Spirit is a person. You know, since that time, I came across a statistic that said something like 80%. Is that right? The magazine's back in the back. Maybe I should go double check it. It was a phenomenal amount of people in evangelical churches who believe that the Holy Spirit is some sort of mystical force, not a person. But the Bible's very clear that the Holy Spirit is a person who was sent to indwell believers and transform their lives. And we talked about this phrase for just a little bit that Sunday about how the Spirit inside us is better than Jesus beside us. And that's what Jesus taught there in John chapter 16, is that He should leave because something, if He left, something better would come. And that was the Comforter, the Spirit of God to indwell us. Well, that next week, Brother Dan shared with us about the God who says no. From Acts chapter 16 and how Paul was trying to go this way and go that way and the Holy Spirit shut him down. And how sometimes in our lives, the Holy Spirit of God does not allow us to do what we want to do. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is the God who says no. The next week we were celebrating the 4th of July weekend. And we talked about encountering life in the Holy Spirit. And we discovered how that the Spirit brings freedom from condemnation, how He brings peace in this life, and how that He gives us victory over the flesh. The next week we talked about grace, charis, and charismata. Do you remember? And we talk about understanding the gifts of the Spirit and how that the Spirit, by grace, which is charis, gives gifts, which is that outworking of grace, that charismata. The Spirit gives gifts to every believer to be used for others for God's glory. And that was something that was really important that we talked about that day, is that gifts are not for our benefit. They are for the benefit of others, for the glory of God. And so we've got to understand those gifts of the Spirit. Well, the next week we talked about power and love, and how we should experience power and love in the Spirit, and that the Spirit is the source of that power. He is the source of that love. So we've got to plug into the power source every day in order to experience His love. And by experiencing His love, then we are able to share His love with others. The following week, we went on and talked about how God wanted to grow the church through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gifts individuals in the church to equip all believers to do the work of the ministry. Do you remember that verse? And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And so God gifts us to equip all of us to do the work that he's called to do. And when that happens, then the church will be unified and will grow up in Christ. No longer immature, but grow in Christ. Then we talked about growing in faith. Growing by faith through the Spirit. You see, the Spirit is the promise of God for salvation by grace through faith. Amen? For by grace we have been saved through faith. That is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast or brag. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. But too many times we get this idea that once we're saved by grace through faith, then we are commanded to live under the law and do what God said to do in the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament. And what we talked about is that we are not under the law, but we are under grace. And so, just as we are saved by grace through faith, we must live by grace through faith. For the just shall live by faith. We talked about how many times the Spirit of God led the writers of the Bible to record that phrase from Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. We, therefore, should not live lives of legalism, but we should live lives honoring and glorifying God. You remember Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that I quoted just a minute ago? For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast or brag. It goes on and says in the next, very, very next verse, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? To do good works. Just because we live by grace through faith, we're saved that way, we live that way, and God does not demand a spiritual to-do list, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Not out of legalism, not out of some sort of checklist, but out of love and gratitude for what God has done for us. We must grow by faith through the Spirit. And then, last week, we talked about keeping in step with the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And when we keep in step with the Spirit, that produces fruit. But we also talked about how that the Spirit gives us power. He empowers us to overcome the desires of the flesh when we walk in Him. And so when we are not gratifying the desires of the flesh, then the Holy Spirit will produce His fruit in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Those things that are given to us by God to enable us to have patience, kindness, and goodness toward others. So that we will be faithful, gentle, and under control of ourselves. This is the fruit of the Spirit that He exhibits when we keep in step with Him. Now, I'm thinking probably there are some of you out there who are thinking, well, Brother Wade, why couldn't you say it so quickly the last 9 weeks? Right? But that's what we've learned so far in this series. that talking about this God we never knew. This is what we've learned so far. And so this morning, I want to do something that, quite honestly, I hardly ever do in standing in the pulpit, and that is I want to preach a topical message this morning where I'm going to touch on some issues and pull from different places in Scripture in order to teach you these things. And so this morning, let's summarize who the Holy Spirit is, and let's move from the place from the God I never knew to being able to say about the Holy Spirit that He is the God I now know. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to look with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis 1, verse 1. The very beginning. It tells us so, in the beginning. You know, there are a lot of people out there today who believe that Jesus Christ was God's first creation. Can I say to you today that is a lie from the pits of hell? Jesus Christ is eternal, as is the Holy Spirit of God, the eternal God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, working together in unity, creating the world. And we find that right here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Here in Genesis chapter 1, we find that the Spirit is everywhere. It's described here as the Spirit is hovering over the face of the deep. Now at this point in time, there was no land. It wasn't until later in the time of creation that God separated the water from the dry land. And so it tells us that the Spirit is hovering over the face of the deep. The Spirit was everywhere. That's why people have a hard time understanding the Spirit as a person, I think. How can a person be everywhere? It must be this force of some sort, as our Jedi Knights would talk about, the force. It's not a force. He is a person, and a person that is there with us. He was present in creation. He was there hovering over the face of the deep. He was all around. He was everywhere. And folks, He has not changed. Just as He was present in creation, He is also here now. This is what we refer to as the omnipresence of God. That word is simply a term that means that He is always present. He is in your life. He is always there. Whether we recognize His presence or not is the question. And that's, I struggled with the sermon title this morning because the word acknowledging is a word that is kind of wordy. It's kind of big. It's kind of boring. And I thought, surely there's a better word I could use. I thought about the word recognizing. But you know, recognizing is almost like I have the power to recognize someone. I didn't like that word. But if I acknowledge the fact that God is God and His Spirit is everywhere, then I must recognize, I must acknowledge that He is bigger than me. And I don't think many people like to think about the fact that anything in this world is bigger than me. Is that fair? We often feel that the world revolves around us. Or let me rephrase that. We don't feel that way. We act as if the world revolves around us. But God is everywhere. We must acknowledge His presence, that He is the omnipresent God, creator of the world. The second thing I want us to notice is in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. So if you have that passage in your Bible, which I'm pretty sure you do, if you turn there to Acts chapter 2, you guys know this passage of Scripture as being the time when the church was waiting there in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit of God has left. Jesus Christ has left, and they're waiting for the Holy Spirit of God to come. Jesus said, wait there in Jerusalem. And so in Acts chapter 2, we have the recording of what happens on that day of Pentecost, which Pentecost means 50 days after Passover. On that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, Luke records what happens here. Notice what it says. Verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here in Acts 2, 1 through 4, we find that the Spirit is indwelling. The Spirit is described here as having divided tongues or cloven tongues like as of fire. And now just to clarify, everything that we're talking about this morning is either a metaphor or a simile trying to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. It is giving us some reference as to the type of work and ministry the Holy Spirit has. Now, this picture that we're looking at, I looked at a lot of different pictures of artists or different people's ideas of what this must have looked like in the upper room where the church was waiting there for the Holy Spirit to come. I have no idea what that must have looked like, to be real honest with you. I cannot imagine what that must have been like. All Luke says is that it was like tongues of fire that came and rested upon each person. Folks, I don't think we need to get caught up in what it looked like so much, but we need to see what this metaphor is trying to describe to us. Because in Scripture, as well as in all different other places in life, fire is recognized as a purifying agent. Is it not? I mean, if you needed to sanitize or sterilize something, how would you do it if you're out in the middle of the woods and you've got a cut and you need to stitch it up and you find a needle and a thread and you're going to stitch yourself up? Does that sound like fun? That sounds like something we should do with Man Up, Brother Tim. Yeah. It's one of those manly kind of things. How would you keep from getting gangrene, infection in your cut? You would sterilize your equipment with fire. Because fire is a purifying, sterilizing agent. And the Bible even refers to God's work in our lives as a refining fire, does it not? God works in our lives to refine us, to make us into the people He wants us to be. I believe that when the Spirit of God came down upon the church as cloven tongues of fire, it was a refining and purifying process where they were receiving the power of the Holy Spirit to indwell them at that point in time. How could the Spirit live in something that was not pure? And so this is a refining process. And by the way, just to clarify, this is the first time in the history of mankind that the Holy Spirit of God came and indwelt the believer. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon the person, but just as the Spirit could come upon them, the Spirit could also leave them. As it did King Saul. Saul was anointed by the Spirit and became the leader of the Israelites. But because of his sinfulness, the Spirit left him. No longer do we have to worry about that, because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. We receive the Holy Spirit as the indwelling being of our life. We walk in the Spirit because He walks inside us. He lives in us. He is that refining fire that works in our hearts on a day-to-day basis. And so, the Spirit is indwelling. So this manifestation of the Spirit came to rest upon each believer. Not just some of the believers, or not one big Spirit on everybody, but it was the Spirit of God resting upon each believer. The Spirit lives inside me. Not because I'm special, but because I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if He's inside me, what do you think He knows about me? Everything. Everything. If He's living inside me, He knows everything there is to know about me. Folks, we can't hide from the work of the Spirit in our lives. We can quench the power of the Spirit. We can disobey God's Word and thereby feed the flesh rather than experiencing the fruit of the Spirit. But He always knows what's going on because He's in here. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you too have the Spirit of God living inside of you. And therefore, He knows everything that's going on with you. This is what we refer to as His omniscience. But the thing is God doesn't just know everything about me. He knows everything about everything. Amen. He is a refining fire in our lives today. I want you to read with me again from Acts 2 what it says in verse 2. It says there, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting." Again, we find a metaphor for who the Holy Spirit is. It describes Him as a rushing mighty wind. Now, in John chapter 3, if you want to look there real quick, John chapter 3 verse 8, we find another time where Jesus is teaching and He talks about the work of the Spirit in our lives and describes Him also as wind in that passage. John chapter 3 verse 8, it says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We hear it, we feel it, but we don't completely understand it. You see, that's because the Spirit, that says, is indwelling. My bad. The PowerPoint should say, the Spirit is empowering. The Spirit is empowering. You see, the Spirit is described here as a wind. And scholars will tell us that the rushing mighty wind that's described is the sound of a tornado. How many of you have ever been somewhere near a tornado as it's passed by? Is there anything more frightening than hearing the sound of a tornado nearby? Scary, isn't it? I remember as a child in Springdale that a tornado touched down nearby, and I remember that sound. It actually didn't come as close to my house as what I thought. I told people that it bounced over our house and hit houses on both sides, because that's what it sounded like to me as a child. But the spirit here is described as that kind of sound, that tornadic-like sound. And you know what? I think that sometimes we forget how powerful the Spirit can be. He is the wind in our lives. And you know what? Sometimes that wind is refreshing, and sometimes that wind is destructive. The power of the Holy Spirit is unlimited, and He desires to work in me and through me for God's glory. He's omnipotent, meaning He is all powerful. So my question to you this morning is how is the Spirit of God being manifested in your life? How can we see the Spirit in your life? Is His presence in your life always felt? He's always there. Amen? He's always there. Are you feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you aware that He's always there? Are you acknowledging His presence? Is He hovering over you to make His presence felt? He's there. Are you recognizing that? Is He a refining fire in your life? You know, fire can bring warmth, but fire can also bring pain. And you know, sometimes God just needs to warm our hearts and encourage us. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But there are also sometimes that He must refine us and put us through trials and difficulties to make us more holy and pure when we come out the other side. Is that process fun? Absolutely not. But it's good. After going through a really difficult time in my life, someone once asked me, someone said to me, "Well, I know you're glad that it happened, but you wouldn't want to go through that again, would you?" And I said to them, "You know, it was the hardest thing I ever went through. But the result of what God did in my life because of that trial, I would not trade it for anything. So absolutely, I would choose to go through that again." Fortunately, God chooses for us. He decides whether we need warmth or we need pain. You know, is the Holy Spirit's presence in your life empowering you to serve Him? We've talked a lot about that this summer, about how we are to serve and how that we are to serve according to our giftedness and how that we must love Him. Is He empowering you to serve in that way? Is He empowering you to love in that way? You know, as I said earlier, wind can be refreshing. A cool breeze on a hot summer's day is one of the best things in the world to feel. But wind can also be destructive. You see, folks, the Holy Spirit of God knows what we need. He will bring all things together for our good. Why? Because we are called according to His purpose. We love Him and are called according to His purpose. And you know, sometimes that will be easy, and sometimes that will be hard. But it will always be for God's purposes. So are you acknowledging the work of God and His Spirit in your life? Is that work being manifested, being seen today? The Holy Spirit, the God we may have never known, I hope is now the God we know. And I hope and I pray that it is the God, He is the God, that you will acknowledge today and say, take control of my life, Lord. How's He going to work in you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for this time together. And I ask, Lord, that You would bless the message as I've presented it today, Lord. And I just pray that You would speak to the hearts of the people here. And Lord, I just pray that You would use Your Spirit to guide us into what You would have for us today. Lord, we thank You for the work He does, convicting us of sin and of righteousness. And God, I just pray that You would that Your Spirit would work in the hearts of the people here today. And that they would respond favorably to His leading. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.